FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Idaho say a man armed with a rifle started a wildfire on Sunday on a mountain, then began shooting when firefighters showed up. Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris.
At approximately 2 o'clock, firefighters broadcast that they were being shot at on Canfield Mountain.
The third firefighter was shot and wounded. The gunman also found dead of a gunshot wound. Well, they finally broke for the night.
Under the previous order, the Senate stands adjourned until 9 a.m.
Members of the Senate expected to vote today on the big budget bill President Trump once passed. Democrats demanded that the bill be read aloud. It's nearly 1,000 pages and took nearly 16 hours to do so. Republican Senator Tom Tillis, one of only two Republican no votes on the bill, announcing he will not seek re-election in North Carolina. President Trump speaking out against him on social media. Trade talks with Canada resuming after Canada rescinded its plan to tax U.S. tech firms. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. New data released by the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development found that most areas across the state saw an increase in unemployment rates in May. According to a press release, 11 of the state's 13 metropolitan areas saw increasing unemployment rates. Eau Claire and Racine were the only two metropolitan areas to see a decrease in May, but have seen an overall increase over the course of the year. Over the last 12 months, 70 Wisconsin counties have seen an increase in unemployment rates, with just two counties seeing a drop. Wisconsin Public Service is seeking their new ambassador dog as part of their campaign to remind residents to check for underground utilities before a digging project. Each year, the agency chooses a dog to highlight as part of the campaign to share a safety message about calling 811 at least 3 days before digging. Residents who are interested in having their dog be the next ambassador dog can submit photos of their dog digging in their favorite spot on the Wisconsin Public Service website by July 10th. Residents will then get to vote on the chosen finalists. The Hunt Hill Nature Center is inviting residents to participate in a bat roost count next week. The Citizen Science Program event will take place on July 11th from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Attendees will help count the number of baby bats emerging in the second roost count to help track population trends and learn more about the types of bats that live in the area. No prior experience is needed and there will be no fee to participate. Organizers of the bat roost count are encouraging interested residents to register ahead of the event as they only have space for 20 participants. A newly completed renovation project at the Damiano Center in Duluth will now allow the nonprofit CHUM to help even more of the city's unhoused population. The nonprofit received $2.4 million from the city and the county to build a temporary shelter in the Damiano Center as their own facility undergoes a $2 million expansion project. CHUM will utilize the space in the Damiano Center for about a year and a half while their facility undergoes construction. The temporary shelter will be able to house over 100 unhoused community members. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A new deal for Bobby.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a 3-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asked why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do. So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me. And it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The Crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had 3 hits through the 9th inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had 4 hits. And 2 homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, June 30th, 2025, last day of June. Flip over to July tomorrow. Summer is just picking up the pace here. It's another beautiful morning. Foggy morning up here to welcome you live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening to or watching us on one of the other different platforms out there, thanks for starting your day and your week. Right here, I got a question. How high is the water by you? Depending on where you live. I mean, here in the Chippewa Valley, like, six different people needed to be rescued off the Chippewa River over the weekend, which is ridiculous. The water is so high. The river's running so fast. And what would prompt anybody to think, oh, yeah, I should get on an inner tube and go down this thing. It'll be fun. Not fun. And downright dangerous in some places. Or, you know, has potential to be fraught with peril, shall we say. If I look down the bank there, I'll see that my boat and my boat lift are still there. My dock is still there. But my dock sections are hanging on for dear life. Thank God for zip ties and bungee cords as the Chippewa runs a little high running down here. So hopefully all that rain over the weekend hasn't caused too much hardship out by you. Coming up on the program this morning, the state budget had the potential to be done by today's deadline, but that's not happening. Thanks to Republicans in disarray. We'll update Friday's Joint Finance Committee meeting that was supposed to start at 10 a.m. and started at 10 p.m. The U.S. Supreme Court made a major ruling on birthright citizenship that really wasn't about birthright citizenship so much as it is about how federal district courts do business. So it does stretch out the legal fight to once again protect another basic right that is under assault by Donald Trump and friends. We'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about their group's lawsuit against the world's richest man, hoping to stop people like Elon Musk from ever again being so bribery adjacent during Wisconsin elections. Then we go talk to one of my North Carolina colleagues from Courier Newsroom, because on Saturday, North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis seemed like a rare profile in courage for the GOP, voting against President Trump's big bloated boondoggle. And then on Sunday, Tillis announced he'd decided not to run for re-election next year. Have you ever seen the hashtag on social media, ETTD, that stands for Everything Trump Touches Dies? Well, Tom Tillis' political career, boom, done. So we'll talk to one of my colleagues from our North Carolina outfit, because that does open up the prospect of a Democratic pickup of an open seat in a swing state like North Carolina. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along in less than a half hour to tell us about her weekend excursion to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Up North News reporter Selena Heller shares tales from her weekend with the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels during the Chippewa Valley Air Show. We'll catch up with Civic Media friends John and Gordy, fresh off their show in Madison, and Jane Matinair to find out what she'll be talking about in her 9 a.m. show. And to you as well, if you care to join us in the comments section like Alicia did, saying, oh, hey, hi there. Hi, Alicia. Thank you for writing in. On YouTube, in her case, you can join us by Facebook as well. Just get into that comment section and let us know what's on your mind today. Or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You could also email in your response to the question of the week from our weekend newsletter. I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit, but first let's say hi in Madison Studio A2 to one Parker Olson. Mr. Olson, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. It was such a good weekend. Yeah. It was the most nothing that we'd ever planned to just be around the house and yet still productive at the same time. So we did stuff, but we didn't make the to-do list with, 6,000 things on it. We just kind of did things as they came up, but I spent more time in my hammock than I can ever recall.
Hey.
Usually I'll be there for 5 minutes. And I'll be like, oh, I should go do this or I should go do that. And this time it's like, no, it was a beautiful day. We were in the shade, the hammock's in the shade there. And it was just so nice.
And
so,
it didn't rain 30 seconds after you got in. That's great. That's
improvement. No, it did not. Let's see. From Jim in Brookfield, good morning, Pat, on the text line here. Southeast Wisconsin did not receive as much rain as other parts of the state. A summer perspective. I often joke how when we reach Memorial Day, you blink and it's the 4th of July, but January seems to take like 6 months. Well, I blinked and here we are at 4th of July week. I know.
Yeah.
And people go, 4th of July is coming up this week, this Friday, and people are all like, oh, summer's half over. I'm like, no, it's not. No, we've got all of July, all of August. Don't rush it. We'll be just fine.
Pat, that's pretty close to halfway.
No. The summer solstice was 6 days ago. We got time.
Yeah,
we're
but
okay.
I've been done with school since like May 15th. So,
well, yeah, if you consider that to be summer, sure. Did you work some Mallards games?
I did. I worked a Mallards game on Friday, and then had a Nightmares game, two of them on Saturday.
I'm sorry, a Nightmares game?
A Nightmares game. Yes, that is the softball team in Madison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, you had a bad day? So, okay, no, it was a nightmare game.
No, it was actually very good. They had a walk-off win.
All right. Well, that's great. You always like to see that. Also from Alicia on YouTube, my kids were in Minneapolis over the weekend, and oh my, was I productive. Yeah, you see, when you get the kids out of the house, that'll happen. And she mentioned Green Bay was a buzz when the Blue Angels flew over yesterday. Yeah, we saw the Blue Angels flying here as we were running errands around Chippewa. And we could hear them from our house all weekend. We couldn't quite see them. They were just kind of past the horizon. But you definitely heard the air show throughout Saturday and Sunday afternoons. But then as they were flying away, they flew through Green Bay and did a flyover at Lambeau Field. I just saw some video of that on social media.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
That looked super cool.
Yeah. I was seeing an ad for the air show in Oshkosh. I don't remember when that is, in a month or so. And I'm starting to think about going. I've never been. I kind of want to go. It seems really cool.
Brittany Merlot is off today, but when she's back on duty, you got to talk to her. She is Ms. AirVenture. She loves the EAA. She camps out there for the entire week. Okay. Literally camps. So you got to talk to her about that. Roger puts up on Facebook, I was in Wisconsin Rapids yesterday. All the gates were open on the Wisconsin River at the Rapids Dam. It was a little humid this morning as I was rolling out the refuse. Yeah. Trash and recycle pickups are a day early this week in Stevens Point. Yeah, I can't actually see out the windows. They're so foggy right now, so steamed up, because the temperature, had been in the mid-80s, low 80s throughout the weekend, and now it's in the low 60s. And yeah, there's quite a lot of fog out there. It was a little damp taking the garbage out this morning. Tony's like, the EAA? Yeah, we're talking about the EAA. And Alicia says, OMG, AirVenture. I take vacations specifically for it. So you'll find friends if you go.
I guess. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'm going to have a whole crew go.
Yes, take the crew. Absolutely. Let's see. Nothing else over there on the text line. Just want to make sure I got everything. Oh, did you notice above me and behind me the bookshelf? Those lights? That I put up there.
This.
You remember those lights?
I do remember those three lights that worked and fourth light that didn't.
And the fourth light that didn't. And I got, you know, the nice little UPS truck showed up with the power whatever and the light whatever to make the four lights work. And I got that, and I was going to work on that yesterday. And just by sheer stupid coincidence, if it had happened just a few hours later, you would have seen them all hanging. One light still stuck to the top of the shelf. The other's all hanging because they're all, you know, strung together.
Yeah.
Just hanging down the shelf because the other three of them, the tape gave way.
Ah.
That had them up there.
You know? Oh, I wish we caught that on air. That would have been so fun to watch on camera.
Wait a minute. We already caught on air when behind me here, where there used to be a Wisconsin map on the wall. And it literally fell off the wall while we were on air. Unfortunately, I've got one behind me that says home, and the state of Wisconsin replaces the O in H-O-M-E.
Sure.
So happen to have that to fill right there. But yeah, at some point I wouldn't, knowing my handiwork, wouldn't be surprised to have something else literally fall off of this. So
how stable is that bookshelf?
I did get that bracketed to the wall before the grandkids arrived. I got that much done.
Okay.
So, which... again, there's no guarantee because the three-year-old, she is mobile, and I could see her. In fact, remember, the up on the top here was the gumball machine that had M&Ms in it. Uh-huh. And I had to put it up on the top shelf because they were raiding it. They were all the time looking for more M&Ms. They were like, you know, lab rats. You know,
they know where the goods are.
On Sugar Shock, yeah. And I'm glad that she didn't see it because that little monkey would have just climbed right up those shelves if she had a chance. Tony pops up. I'm not rooting for the bookshelf to fall apart, but it would be pretty funny to see Pat's face. Well, that depends on whether the bookshelf hits me in the back of the head or not, but yeah, it would be
entertaining.
Yeah.
That'd be great radio.
There is the prospect that something would fall, an entire shelf would give way, and I would not even turn around. I would just kind of look right at the camera here like, yep.
That kind of just seems like a moment you look into the camera and just like, this is my life now. Yep. Things just fall apart around me. This is how it works.
You know, when you got my set of mechanical skills here, you got to keep that music handy. You just never know when it's going to come into play. But things have worked today so far. Uh-huh. And the only thing that you can't see if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube is that while the shelf is well organized and while I'm sitting here and everything looks fine, what you can't see is the floor. And you can't see all the little piles of paper and, of course, the lights that have fallen down. And there's a Yacht Rock captain's hat.
Well, you got to have the captain's hat on hand.
There's
yeah.
A little a travel pillow for when I'm in the hammock.
In case you get tired during the show, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a boat bag back there for when we get on the pontoon, but we couldn't because the river was too high. You know, you would not be able to get the boat down from the boat lift, you know?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I suppose not. You're going to have to come up here.
Not
go
a boat
for
guy.
A ride, you know?
Yeah. I do know that.
Yeah, we'd be good with that. In fact, Todd Alba has talked about doing that next week when the Northern Wisconsin State Fair comes to Chippewa Falls and opens up here as it does every year the week after the 4th of July. So, yeah, next week, either Thursday and or Friday, Todd Alba will do his 2 to 4 p.m. show live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and I will join him as well. It would be nice to do, you know, my show from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, but at 6 a.m., the only thing open are the barns. And
yeah. I don't love the idea of random moos and...
just random mooing as you're trying to talk about the day's news. And so, see what I did there?
You don't even get a rim shot for that. No.
Would not even necessarily work. So, all right. So, we've got a busy one up ahead. And I mentioned before our question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter, and you can sign up for it along with all of our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. And after the news that both Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde are each thinking of maybe running for governor next year, I ask, who do you think right now will be the Republican nominee for governor next year? Will it be Tim Michaels? Will it be Eric Hovde? Will it be Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive? Will it be some other politician? Or will it be some other rich guy
who's never been in elected office. So you can answer that question throughout the week. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Coming up after this fine program is a finer program, Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. She'll join us at 8:50 to tell us about her weekend and what's coming up this week. But I can tell you now that Shelley Pittman, Civic Media's new news director, will be joining Jane and Greg at 9:30. Then at 10:30, We Got This Garden, urban gardening and a farming initiative targeted at children. And of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. On the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 this afternoon, Todd has to miss the first hour, so yours truly will be hosting the 2 p.m. hour along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And if you are not familiar with Todd's show, on Wednesdays, Trigvi and I join him for the first half hour of the show. But today, Trigvi and I will be co-hosting the entire 2 p.m. hour. We are hoping to be joined by State Senator Kel DeRoys with an update on the state budget. Again, unless some kind of news is broken and she can't join us, but otherwise we'll have Senator Roys on there. A little sports now first, then we'll talk more about the state budget. It used to be that if I told you Orlando Arcia hit a tying home run with two outs in the ninth, that'd be a good thing. But Arcia now plays for the Colorado Rockies, and the Rockies were down to their last out in the ninth at American Family Field yesterday when he hit that game-tying homer, only his second home run of the season. The Rockies went on to win it in 11, final score 4-3. The Brewers still took 2 out of 3 from the lowly Rockies. They remain 2 games back of the Cubs in the National League Central. Bryce Turang now has a 13-game hitting streak. A day off today before beginning a road trip to New York and Miami. The Brewers will play the Mets on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then they'll spend the Independence Day weekend playing the Miami Marlins on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoons before coming home a week from today to start a home series against the LA Dodgers. Then the Nationals, and then it's the All-Star break already. Baseball season just zipping along here as well. But anyway, back to this week, Brewers and Mets again starting tomorrow, 5:35 each evening, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, pregame at 5:35 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dave Parker, the Pittsburgh Pirates legend and one-time Milwaukee Brewers DH, who is set to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame next month, died over the weekend. Dave Parker was ubiquitous to baseball characters of the 1970s, playing for 19 seasons, 11 with the Pirates. He was the National League MVP in 1978, won a World Series with Pittsburgh in 79, another with Oakland in 89. And then in 1990, he spent one season with the Brewers, hitting 21 home runs. He made the All-Star roster as a Brewer, his seventh All-Star selection, though he did not play in the game. It's going to be a bittersweet occasion when Dave Parker is inducted in Cooperstown at the end of next month. Dave Parker was 74 years old. One more sports note, Bobby Portis, one of the league's top reserves, has agreed to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks, a three-year, $44 million contract to remain a fan favorite with Milwaukee. Nice to have him along. All right, well, it's a case of deja vu at the state capitol on the budget, which is due to start tomorrow, but it's not ready yet. Republican disarray is holding up a budget bill in much the same way Republican disarray has been holding up a federal budget in Washington, D.C. In both cases, it's about disagreements on making spending cuts that are severe, but not so severe as to cost them their majorities in 2026. The Joint Finance Committee was supposed to meet Friday morning at 10 a.m. to work out the final details of a budget bill. Then they pushed it to noon, then 2 p.m., then 4 p.m. They actually didn't get their act together and start meeting until 10 p.m. And even then, they didn't finish their work because they said they still have not reached agreement on what to do with things like childcare, the UW system, Medicaid. So the committee did release some of the money that's supposed to be allocated for new literacy programs, but it's really not clear when Joint Finance will meet again to tackle these final items so the Assembly and Senate can finish work on a budget that was supposed to be done by today. In the Senate, Republicans have an 18-15 majority, so that means they can only lose one vote. And there's at least three Republican senators right now that are not willing to sign on to just anything that Republican leadership puts in front of them. So the question remains, do the rest of the Republicans say, look, we want to get this done, and so we'll try to get some Democratic votes on this? Or do they just give up and say, well, we're not even going to try to pass a budget? Again, State Senator Kelda Royce will tell us more about any outreach to Democrats coming up when she joins us in the at 2:30 this afternoon on the Todd Alba Show. Over the weekend or on Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling on birthright citizenship that isn't as broad as President Trump is claiming, though it does stretch out the legal fight to protect yet another basic constitutionally guaranteed right. But this Supreme Court has already ripped away women's health care rights, so why not take on birthright citizenship? But it really wasn't as much about birthright citizenship as it was about their own judiciary. Right now, federal district judges around the country, if they find something is unconstitutional and they put an injunction in place, it goes nationwide. Because something unconstitutional in Wisconsin is unconstitutional in Iowa or Tennessee or anywhere else. But this Supreme Court said no. Said no. The federal district judge in that district can make a ruling, and it applies to the people who brought the case in that district. But the Trump administration can go on and pursue whatever it wants to pursue in all the other districts, unless y'all get together and do something like a class action lawsuit. And that's something that Justice Sotomayor called a travesty of justice, because it is. Again, it's a fundamental change in basic rights and the basic ways that our judiciary operates. But the way that this Supreme Court operates, you have to hang on to your basic rights with both hands, because this is a court happy to rip them away. Coming up next, Kristen Lyerly. Thanks for making some time here as part of your Monday mornings powered by Up North News. More live from Lake Wissota after the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Beef producers have been talking about the incredible prices they're receiving for their animals for a while. But what's happening with our pork producers? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Well, the latest USDA hogs and pigs report may give us some direction. Bernd Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says, well, the beef cattle numbers remain tight. We've got more hogs out there than we expected.
We've got cash hogs running around $106 per hundredweight. That's a really solid price for this time of year. And one of the things that's doing this is we're finding some demand. So even though we've got some bearish news in this report that our hog numbers are up, we've also got some really supportive demand coming in. Seeing some increased demand in the pork sector as a substitute for these record high beef prices is kind of interesting.
Bernd Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says while he's trying to be positive about this latest USDA hogs and pigs report, said you still have to look at the numbers. Right now, about 390,000 head higher than the last quarterly report. He says that means that right now the number of hogs in the United States is the highest inventory we've seen since June 1st, 2020. Markets are next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 2¾ cents to 166.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 162, while the AA butter gained 2.5 cents to 256¼ per pound. So far on a Monday morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up more than 200 points. July corn unchanged. December new crop down 2.5 right now at 425. Soybeans for July also unchanged, but November new crop's up a penny at 1026. The July wheat right now unchanged at 525. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 6 at 1762. August is up 13 at 1846 a hundredweight. Another quick reminder that we've just turned the page as far as June dairy activities, and now it's county fair season. If you want to follow along with the county fairs slated all across the state of Wisconsin, jump online, wifairs.com. WIFairs.com, the Wisconsin Fair Association. Links to all fairs are there. That's a look at what's happening in the markets on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang step into the host chairs, and they're joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to discuss Donald Trump's threats to Wisconsinites' health care. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up near Merrill in Lincoln County, see what all this rain has been like for him and a lot of folks who've been delayed getting their second cutting of alfalfa done. We'll have Chad Holmes along as well, and Dan. We'll have Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area talking about any progress on the state budget, and Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 tells us what he's covering up in the Rhinelander area. That's all tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud will join us. She'll be talking about a Republican bill to address removal of lead water pipes in Superior and why she voted no on it. Spoiler alert, the words corporate giveaway come to mind. So we'll talk to Angela Stroud about that coming up on Wednesday. But we are joined now by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who this is a getaway week for her, and she's been so kind as to join us from her many destinations. When we last left Dr. Lyerly on Friday, she let spill that the hotel she was in was right across the street from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, but she ain't there now. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning from Burlington, Vermont.
Wow, Vermont. My goodness. Oh, wait, let me look out the window there. Oh, you're right. I see Democratic Socialists just like falling out of trees. There's so many of them there. Wow.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, the landscape is beautiful. The weather's been amazing. The people are living in a whole different place than where we live in Wisconsin.
Do they all talk like Bernie Sanders just out of affection for their senator or?
No, but okay. We came here to celebrate the residency graduation of Craig's daughter, Mackenzie, who's coming back as a new OBGYN doctor in Green Bay. And it was so cool to be surrounded by all these OBGYN doctors who practice here in this blue state where they're very safe and very progressive and very sheltered from what's happening outside of Vermont. With one notable exception, I had a great conversation last night with a high-risk pregnancy doctor who has worked for 2 decades in research in high-risk pregnancies, and he is on the verge of losing all of his research funds and trying to figure out how to piece it all together. Very frustrating.
It is extremely frustrating. And, you know, we'll just take my mom as representative of the entire population. Maybe that's not fair. But when I called her a few days back, she was just surly. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she's like, she was just so mad because she had just got done watching like either a CBS Sunday Morning report or something about all these NIH grants being canceled, all this medical research that isn't being done. My mom's not a doctor or anything, but she saw, and it must have been a preview of the full report because we watched the full report on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday about these women facing cancer battles and finding out that they can't be part of these clinical trials anymore because they've been cut. And the anger wasn't just at the cuts, but that these bozos still insist that nothing's getting cut. Mm-hmm. They keep saying, oh, we're just getting the waste and the fraud and the abuse and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that is such a lie. And yet they keep telling it, knowing that they have just enough people who believe it. But I'm Kristen, everybody else who sees through it is just beyond outraged at this.
For those of you who are having a hard time grasping the concept of gaslighting, this is the real life thing that is definitely hitting home. These are those consequences already that we are starting to see and feel in our real lives. And Pat, if this big, beautiful bill were to pass, this is 2/3 of the seniors in this country rely on Medicaid. So many of the folks in this country who live with disabilities, moms, babies, veterans, we can't wait until this hits home for the people that we love the most.
Yeah. Look, it's got right now, and this is the Congressional Budget Office, which is headed by a Trump appointee, I hasten to add. The Congressional Budget Office has it at $1.1 trillion in health cuts, 11.8 million Americans losing their health care. And it's and they keep saying, oh, it's budget savings. No, it's not. It's all going to tax breaks for the very rich. This is an immense transfer of wealth, where rather than taking the money out of your pocket, they're taking your health care that they would otherwise pay for and give that money to the rich. By the way, it is taking money out of your pocket. Again, from the CBO, the top income earners will see a tax cut of $12,000, a tax cut of $12,000, while the lowest income Americans will see their tax bill go up $1,600. So when people say, why are they racing to pass this by the 4th of July? Why are they racing to pass this by the 4th of July? Because as more Americans learn about this steaming dung pile, they are not happy. And their only hope is to pass this thing this week because, you know it, Kristen, more people are learning what's in here and are saying, this is not what I voted for.
We're starting to see it over and over again. And if you look at it from the other perspective, Ron Johnson initially objected because it would increase the deficit. Well, it still does, even though he has caved, which we all knew he would, it still does increase the deficit. I think the number I saw was $2.4 trillion.
Nope. It's now $3.3 trillion that it's added to the deficit, where Ron Johnson said, I'm a no on it, but hey, rim shot alert here. I was very happy with my social media post. Somebody take Ron Johnson spelunking because he's caving again. Thank you. I'll be here all week. And then you had Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina vote no on a procedural motion that could have killed the bill if only one more Republican had joined him. But it was only him and Senator Rand Paul. And so it passed by one vote. And so Tom Tillis, the very next day on Sunday, said, yeah, I'm not going to run for re-election, because he already knows Trump is going to find somebody to primary him. And we're going to talk to one of my North Carolina coworkers coming up an hour from now. But I just love how, you know, Ron Johnson, I'm going to stand in the way. He caves. Lisa Murkowski, I'm going to stand up to Donald Trump. She caved. I mean, the editorial cartoon of the weekend was Trump putting, you know, patting Susan Collins on the back. And on the back, he's put taped a little sign that says sucker on the back of her, because, I mean, really? You all think ripping healthcare away from 11 million Americans that we're going to buy the whole waste, fraud, and abuse thing? Give me a break.
I don't have any words, honestly, Pat, because it is so, I see it so clearly, and I know you do too. But, you know, I was on a call with Senator Elizabeth Warren last week, and she mentioned that only 1 in 4 Americans understood what this bill meant. Right. But it's going to hurt every single one of us. And that's why we have to have these conversations. We have to reach out to our representatives, even if we feel like it's not going to make a difference. And I definitely feel like it won't make a difference where I live. But I'm still making the calls because they need to know. We need to use our voices.
Speaking of Senator Warren, she put up a post over the weekend, 10 ways you will pay more under this bill. Your utility bills will go up as we lose clean energy investments. Your rent will go up as predatory housing companies can jack up prices. Your college tuition will go up as Pell Grants are cut. Your student loan payments are going to go up. Your medical school costs are going to go up, making it harder to get doctors in your community. Your grocery costs will go up as SNAP benefits are cut. Your prescription drugs are going to get more expensive as copays increase. Your Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance premiums are going to go up. Your employer-funded insurance is going to go up. And you might lose health insurance entirely, meaning that trip to the emergency room could actually bankrupt you. And that's just 10 of many ways that people are going to be negatively impacted by this bill. Where does it go from here? You know, they're going to have a vote-a-rama today and eventually throw it back to the House. And it is still possible knowing what we know about House Republicans, it is still possible that all it takes is like two of them to go, no, we don't want to pass this. And then suddenly it all falls apart. So it's not a done deal yet. That's why those phone calls work.
We even saw people like Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking out against aspects of this bill. I mean, there is so much junk in this bill. In addition to the big things that you hopefully have heard about, there is junk like the inability for states to pass regulations against AI for the next 10 years. That's really scary. We can't let AI run roughshod for 10 years. What has happened in the last 10 years in technology in this country? I can't even imagine what the impact would be on all of us.
Tony writes on YouTube, Kristen is making calls and posting on Congressman Weed's social media. I love it.
Well, when we were done debating during the campaign, we shook hands and he said, keep attacking me. And I said, okay, I will. So yeah. I made a promise. I got to keep it.
You got to keep it. Alicia noting, my son is on Medicaid. It's the best way to get the treatment that he needs. Mm-hmm. And again, coming back to the original point, if you still hear, oh, nobody who deserves their benefits is actually going to get their benefits cut a nickel from Derek Van Orden, Tony Weed, and the others, you are being gaslit. Just read what's in there. You'll understand. Mm-hmm. Let's close on the positive side, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's hear about that.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh my gosh, Pat, it's everything. So they've got this, the featured display right now is 50 years of music on Saturday Night Live. And you walk in and they've got this montage of all of those things that you saw and you remember and are ingrained in pop culture. And you're watching it and saying, oh my gosh, I remember. Oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. At one point, James Brown was performing and Craig said, oh, every time I see that, I think of Eddie Murphy in the hot tub. And we turned around and there's Eddie Murphy's robe from the hot tub skit. And it was just thing after thing after thing. And then you walk in and you see the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And they had a big thing on Bruce Springsteen because it's the 50th anniversary of the Born to Run album. Just all of those things at the Everly Brothers. There's a tribute to 1984, the greatest music or the greatest year in pop music history. Yes. I mean, all of those things. Even Craig, I had to stop him from singing. He's not very good at it. So I was like, honey, maybe like quieter. But we were all singing because you couldn't not.
Well, answer this question about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from Tony on YouTube. Wants to know, is there a picture of Pat in the Yacht Rock section of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? No. No, Tony.
I should have brought one.
Not yet.
Not yet, anyway. Speaking of James Brown, and going back to CBS Sunday Morning, they had a story on Maestro Michael Tilson Thomas, a very famous conductor. And he credits James Brown with part of his very animated conducting style.
Oh, really?
He got to meet James Brown and was influenced by his music and just kind of took that style to his conducting. So it ain't just rock and roll, you know, that's impacted by rock and roll and the things that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That would be very fun to see. I'm very jealous. And then by the time 4th of July rolls around, you won't even be in Vermont anymore.
Mm-mm. We're actually leaving today to go ride our bikes in New Hampshire, check out the Presidential Mountain Range, and then we're going to Boston for the 4th of July to enjoy fireworks with the Boston Pops.
So nice. Wow, that's great. Yeah, we just decided to do Summerfest on the 4th of July.
Hey, listen, that you're not slumming. It's an amazing lineup that weekend.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. We'll talk more about that a little bit later as the week goes on. But first, a reminder that coming up yet on the show, Selena Heller's going to tell us about her weekend with the Blue Angels, something that's become an annual tradition for her. So she'll be joining us in just a bit. Still to come, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward talking about the lawsuit against Elon Musk and billionaire bribery at election time. But first, today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings, up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sign up for those newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Back in just a bit.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver.
It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kristen Lyerly did not lie in her last segment, referring to 1984 as one of the greatest years in music ever. That would include the album Sports by Huey Lewis and the News that claimed the number one spot this week in 1984. Here's the thing about 1984, the year that Selena Heller was born, and she joins us now from Eau Claire.
Nice.
In 1984, there were only five number one albums. There were only five albums on the top of the chart because each one was so good, it stayed at number one for so long. They were, of course, Sports. And then the other four were Thriller, Purple Rain, Springsteen's Born in the USA, and the soundtrack from Footloose.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the Mount Rushmore of the year 1984. Agreed? Yeah.
As a young person who doesn't know a lot of 80s music, that's crazy that I recognize all of those.
Absolutely. Yep.
You don't know a lot of 80s music? Oh, man.
I'm 22.
I know.
We'll get you there, Parker. Stick with us, buddy.
Yep. Coincidentally, on this week in 1984, Bruce Springsteen failed at their first attempt to shoot a studio video for Dancing in the Dark. So they kind of pulled a Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live. And they went to a concert at the St. Paul Civic Center and brought in a doe-eyed 19-year-old actress, Courtney Cox, and put her in the audience. And then Bruce brings up Courtney Cox to dance with him. And that was the start of her career.
And that's how all white women my age learned how to dance.
Hey, it worked. All right, let's go way back. This week in 1939, when you think of Frank Sinatra, you think of the older guy, you know, the voice way down there, you know, like Joe Piscopo used to. But we all forget that he got his start as a really, really young crooner. And so here's a little bit of him from when he first began with the Harry James Orchestra. His first concert was this day in 1939 in Baltimore.
From the bottom of my heart, I love you.
Ba 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 boo. There was a lot of crooning, a lot of swooning. The Bobby Soxers. Oh, how they loved hearing that from Frank Sinatra. Little Frankie Sinatra back then. He did all right after that. On this
Parker?
Day in 50, what's that, Parker?
Has Parker heard of him?
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
I believe he's outraged at you right there.
Checking.
All right. Yeah. I know. You know what? Fair question. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
On this day in 1559, France lost its king, King Henry II, because he was mortally wounded in a jousting match. So if you're king, maybe watch from the luxury box from now on, okay?
What a way to go.
On this day in 1937, the world's first emergency telephone number is introduced in London, 999, compared to the 911 that we use here. Happy birthday to the lead singer of the Little River Band, Glenn Sharrock, who is 79 years old today.
This is like Australia's version of Yacht Rock.
Yes, absolutely. He was born in England, but he and his family moved to Adelaide, Australia when he was 10. And yeah, they had a ton of hits as Australia's version of Yacht Rock. And again, 79 years old today. Boxer Mike Tyson, 59. Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps is 40 years old today. The first Chevy Corvette rolled off the assembly line in Flint, Michigan on this day in 1953. And I know you're thinking, well, wait, wasn't Friday drive your Corvette to work day? Yes, because it's always celebrated on the Friday closest to June 30th to mark that 1953 when the first Corvette rolled off the assembly line. This is National Bunny Rabbit Week, if you have rabbits for pets. We did. We had two different rabbits as pets over the years. In fact, one year...
I had bunnies.
What's that?
I had bunnies too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I can't remember what year it was now, but the girls were still much younger, and Sherry took the girls to Oakwood Mall in Eau Claire, and I stayed behind. I was doing housework or whatever, and it either was my birthday or a couple days prior like this, and they come home with a bunny. And they're like, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's your birthday present. I'm like, no, it's not. That's not my birthday present. That's how you're trying to sell it. You're trying to sell it to me as my birthday. Here's your birthday present. You get to scoop rabbit poop for the next several years. Congratulations, Dad. So it's National Bunny Rabbit Week. And finally, this is International Day of Parliamentarianism, honoring the parliamentary system of governments, a unique and enduring system of preserving democracy as the standard for political representation, otherwise known as a bunch of pompous old windbags gather around and say, Mr. Speaker, as they launch into speech after speech. So, Selena, we're going to hear much more after the news, but, the next 60 seconds is all yours. If I just ask you to comment for a moment on hanging out with the Blue Angels and the rest of the folks at the Chippewa Valley Air Show.
Oh, my goodness. It was such a beautiful weekend. And weather-wise, it held off. The rain held off. So we had a great weekend. We had record turnout at the Chippewa Valley Air Show on Saturday. So it was packed, but it was beautiful. And our show went up. The week last week was pretty sketchy because of all the rain, but it all happened. It all came together, and a lot of people had a fun time, and so we're going to talk about that a little later.
Yeah, we've got several clips to play from folks, including somebody who first saw the Blue Angels for the first time at an Eau Claire show 27 years ago.
Yes.
Which means you may have covered it for this, you know. You should go back into the old TV clips. You might have interviewed this young man. You never know.
Yeah, that's possible. I'll have to search. Yeah.
So we're going to hear more about that as she continues. Kristen, can you hang along, or do you got to get back going to riding your bike in Vermont?
I think we got to get to New Hampshire, Pat. But okay. Have a delightful day, everyone.
Yes, thanks for the visit. Have safe travels. Have a lot of fun.
Thanks.
All right. We'll
see
you a little later. Selena will join us after the 7 o'clock news, plus Jeff Mandel and more on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ambush on first responders. Two Idaho firefighters killed. The gunman also dead. Police say he set a brush fire on a mountainside near Coeur d'Alene, then opened fire on first responders who showed up to try to put it out. A tactical response team used cell phone data to hone in on an area where they found the suspect's body with a rifle nearby. The Senate is set to vote today on President Trump's budget bill. Two Republican senators voting no in preliminary votes, including North Carolina is Tom Tillis.
Tillis says that he's voting against the bill because he doesn't like the changes that it makes to Medicaid and that it would negatively affect Medicaid recipients in his state. That's been his primary reason.
ABC's Ali Pekoran. President Trump threatening Tillis with a primary challenge if he voted against it, which he did. Tillis then announcing he will not be running again. Hours after New York City's Pride Parade, a shooting near the historic Stonewall Inn left two teenagers hurt. This is ABC News.